get into 1 Corinthians 3:5. Okay, I want us to, we're going to jump right in. Pastor Nicole did such an amazing job last week. I mean, I will never forget what being a baby Christian looks like. I don't want to walk around with a pacifier in my mouth, you know, trying to confess the things of God. And so, you know, that section of scripture, I always call it the carnal baby Christian section, you know, where we can easily become carnal baby Christians in the things of God. And God is calling us to a place of maturity. God, and here was Paul, he was putting this out to the Corinthian church. And he was saying, you think you're mature, but you're not. You think you got it all together, but you're not. You're saying, but I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of, and he's like, what are you doing? But yet, if we think about it, I don't know how many of you guys, probably no one in this room, but I know the front desk gets lots of calls. Who's preaching tonight? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or I don't want that person when you get assigned a certain pastor during spiritual guidance. Or whatever the case may be, because you have your favorites, right? Oh, Pastor Deborah's preaching, I'm coming. Oh, Pastor Sue's preaching? Okay. Pastor Jesper, yeah, she's kind of loudmouth. You know, like, whatever your reasons are. And I'm here to say to you, that's immature. That is a carnal baby Christian move on your part. You said, oh my goodness, she just called me out. Well, the reason is because we all can grow up in the things of God. We all, okay, I don't care how old you are. We all are continuing to grow up in our spiritual walk with Christ because it's really easy to forget more than you remember. And so let's not put this in a position, this message, let's put it in a position in our lives where it's going to remind us. So maybe you've been in a very solid place with Christ, but it might be a reminder for you today to just kind of straighten some things out inside of you. And this will be a roadmap for us. And so I thought that Pastor Michelle did such an incredible job, and she went all the way to verse 9, if you guys remember. And as I was studying, I was really struggling with the verses I had because they were kind of a broken thought. And I was like, how do I do this? We're talking about the judgment day at the end of my verses, and then we're talking about witnessing in the beginning of my verses, and then we're talking about my conduct. And I'm just like, I guess I can make these 3 points, but then judgment day is so big. So I just want to give you a heads up. We are going to end in verse 12. Pastor Deborah is preaching next round on the day of judgment. So we will not go any further. So I'm going to set up for next time because the day of judgment is a very important message for all Christians to know about. And we will stand before God one day, okay? And so she will talk about what that looks like and all of that. But we're going to talk about, I titled this message, Building for Eternity. That you are builders, that you are builders. You might feel like, I'm not a builder. I haven't built anything in my life. But you are, because you are a full-time minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you say that out loud with me? I am a full-time minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, let's get into our scripture today. And it says, in 1 Corinthians 3, 5-13, it says, who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? Remember, this is Paul. But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither who plants anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward. Hear that word, reward? Okay, so God rewards us according to his own labor. Not according to what other people do, but according to what they do. For we are God's fellow workers. Say, I'm God's fellow worker. You are God's field. Say, I'm God's field. You are God's building. Say, I am God's building. At the end of these verses, it says that you are the temple of God, that you house God. Isn't that cool? So I'm reminding, these are powerful scriptures because you don't feel this. Today, I hope you walk out of here empowered. Knowing who you are. And then it says, according to the grace of God, which you have given to me, and as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, this is Paul, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear for the day. See how that's a capital D? That is the judgment day. okay? That's when we go before the Lord. When we pass, we will go before the Lord. We will stand before him. We will give an account for everything we've done as Christians. And it will be declared, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work and what sort it is. I'm going to let Pastor Deborah go into all the rest of that, okay? So today, all we're going to learn is how to build my life on the rock. How to build my life according to what God says. Because what you build on will last for an eternity. What we build on will last for an eternity. So what we do now counts for our eternal being. What you say counts. What you do counts. Who you are counts. You know, this whole idea of, you know, you get saved and you move on and you're not accountable for anything, that's the most foolish thing, because of these very scriptures that God is saying, you will be tested. You will stand before me. And I will put your works under fire, and we will see if they last or they get burned up, is what these scriptures are saying. And I don't want you, one day I'm going to have to go before the Lord, and he's going to say, what did you tell the people? And I want you to be able to say, Pastor Jess taught us. And so now I'm changing some things in my life. I'm looking at some attitudes in my life. I'm looking at some things that I've been living by in my life, so that I can compare to what the Word of God requires of me, so I can step into what God needs me to do while I'm on this earth. First and foremost, you are a builder. You are God's field. You are God's temple. We learn this in these scriptures. And so if you feel like you're inadequate, somebody's told you you're not good enough, somebody's told you you're not important enough, listen, I'm here to tell you those are normal feelings, but they're not real. Because Satan himself is the father of all lies. And he does a really good job to disqualify us from stepping into all that God has called us to do. And you, Most High women, children of the Most High God, you are called to be builders of the kingdom of God. That is what you're called to do. So today, when you are knowing that you are a builder, then what do you need to do to build? You, number one, you've got to show up to build. You got to show up to build. I had renovated my house probably a few years ago now. I don't even know how long it's been. I'm lost time. And when we had to go through this renovation, there were many times that these builders would tell us, okay, we'll be there at 7 in the morning. Do you know they did not show up at all? And I would just be so livid, because it took me everything in the world to get my kids out of their way and to get the dogs where they needed to go, and I had to change all of my agenda. I'm calling work and having to adjust things at work because I am on their timeline, right? But then they don't even show up for the build. Do you know my build should have taken 3 months and it took a year? Yeah, because they did not show up to the build. The foundation was laid. I did my part. I went and got the architecture. You know, the architect did her thing. The city, I went and got the city approved on my plans. The foundation was there. But if the builders don't show up, nothing can be built. And we're the builders, guys. We got to show up. And sometimes we don't want to show up because life is hard. And we want to opt out. We want to hide in. And we want to just kind of get lost in the crowd, you know? And we don't want to take on a responsibility for what it is God is asking us to do. But we don't get that option as children of God. And so here in this moment, we have to step in and we have to finish, because my build in that house would have never gotten done if we didn't start all those steps first, right? It's done finally. But I had to push, and I had to fight for that to get done. And so 1 Corinthians 5:8 says, who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? Ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither who plants or any water or waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants is and he who waters are one, and let each one receive in his own reward. When you do your part and I do my part, we reap the blessing of God in our lives. And I know that this can be a very discouraging thing for us as believers. How many times have you had, you know, a relationship with someone, or you've poured into people and you've been just like, I'm going to get them saved. They're so broken. I know what they need. They need Jesus. And you've prayed with them in the middle of the night when they've called you, or you've ran and got them groceries when they needed it, or you've ministered to them when they've been beat up by that husband, or whatever it is that you've done. And then they just disappear and they go back to their old ways, or and you're just so frustrated. You're like, was all of that in vain? But you can't lose hope, church, because the word of God says that the word does not turn void. So what you planted in them, you need to begin to pray again for them and ask God to send laborers across their path. Okay? Because remember, we all are in this together. Some of you have wayward children, and I do not know why we cannot hear the voice of our parents. I was the same way. My children are the same. I'm like, seriously? So then you whisper to the youth pastor, can you please tell them? You know, like, we all need each other, right? You know the saying, it takes a village to raise a family, right? It's true. Because sometimes you don't hear the people that are closest to you, but then some random person that you don't will say something, and that will just drop in their spirit. So if you have wayward children, pray in laborers across their path. Send someone else, that Christians, we are working together, and that you are an answer to someone else's prayer, and that people are going to come to know the goodness of God, not because we're looking at the person in front of us, but because we're in our own build and we're showing up for the job that God's asked us to be in that moment. There's so many times you're not going to feel this way. You're not going to know how to do this. You're not going to know when to do it. I told the story on Friday night that my nail lady, she was broken. Her sister had cancer. I didn't feel like talking about anything. I'm tired. I don't want to talk about anything negative anymore. That is my quiet time. And yet I heard the Spirit of God say to me, get ready. And she said, how do you pray? And I said, and I just started talking to her about how to pray. And she's like, So you got to, like, shut your mind down and, and I'm like, no. And I was kind of like, how do I do this, Holy Spirit? And the whole time, the Holy Spirit was leading me in this conversation. Well, I didn't give you a follow-up, but after Friday night, I broke a nail. So I had to go back, and they gave me her. I have never in my life seen this woman nice. And she was like, hi, come, let me help you. She fixed my nail. She's like, thank you so much for coming back. And I was like, who are you? And when I walked out, she was so kind to me. And I was just like, what happened? I was in shock. And I felt like the Holy Spirit told me, she is blessed by the presence that you carry. And I'm softening her hard heart right now. You see, be ready for whatever build you find yourself in. It may not be me that reaps that. It might be somebody else who reaps that, but I have planted seed. I literally told her the whole altar call. And then the whole entire room heard it. Chloe was like, Mom, everybody heard the altar call in there. They're all accountable now. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. So listen, we're on point, guys. You are on mission, okay? Show up for your build. It's so easy to get, put yourself away because you're tired, right? I'm hormonal today. I started my period today. I don't want to be around people. Somebody engages you at the store, so annoying, they're asking me for money again. How about that's a human being that the Holy Spirit wants you to, like, minister to. Whether they're rude to you or not, that does not matter, because a mature Christian doesn't care about that. A mature Christian says, what do you need me to do, Holy Spirit? Give them some dignity. Make them feel like they're human. Let them know that they are seen. And see, God sees them. God sees you. God fights for us. God fights for them. And so we have to put an importance on showing up for whatever build we find ourselves in. These are important things. Number two, what I need to do when I build in my life, I've got to receive the grace of God to build. Because building's going to be hard. Building is going to be uncomfortable. When I had to go through the build in my house, do you know that I did not have floors and I only had beams to step on, like to get to the one room? And then I'm in my robe and I had to go outside the house to go to the other room that I made a makeshift kitchen in, that every time I turned on the toaster and the microwave at the same time, all the house electricity went out. So then I had to go out to the side and do the breaker. I mean, this was like every morning. And I remember one time, I'll never forget this, when I was walking outside, these bicyclists, we have bicyclists that go by our house all the time. And these bicyclists, I'm in my robe, I'm trying to get to that room, and these bicyclists are sitting in my driveway. So I'm like, hi. And they're like, hi. And I'm like, you just taking a break? They're like, it's me, Pastor Jess. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Who's me? Because they had all their stuff on. I was so embarrassed. And it was Adam, our chief financial officer, and Ron. who does our graphics around here, and I'm like, why are you guys here? Like, I'm like, well, you've seen me in all my glory. It was so embarrassing. And so, you know what? But I had to be ready for the build. I had to receive grace in that time because I could have been mad about everything. Everything. I needed the grace of God to get that build done. Why? Because they're giving me bills and I'm going, that's your mistake. I'm not paying for that. That's not what you said before. And I'm having to hold people to their word. And I'm having to fight for everything. And I remember going outside one day and I was like, God, how are we going to pay for this? Now the house is tore up and I don't have the money they're saying that I need. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, could you have faith for it? Because I'll meet it if you just put your faith out there for it. And I said, yeah, I have faith in you. And he goes, then I'll give you the grace to endure this. And I remember that moment with me just staring at my broken house and literally paper on our walls for days. And finally, I just said, God, in the name of Jesus, this is going to get done. I rebuke the devourer. You're not going to come steal any more of our time, our money. Do you know that that got done? And I do not have one bill left from that build. That it is all paid off. Why? Because God's grace got me through it and God took care of us. Why? Because I showed up to the build and because I trusted God in the middle of it. See, the grace of God will carry you through the really uncomfortable seasons. This is like a dumb one, right? But let's say that we're the people like the Jewish people right now, not knowing if they can go back to their homes or not because they saw a family member shot there. I mean, why are you going there, Pastor Jess? Because we gotta look at things in perspective. You've lost a child now, or you don't know if your family member's alive right now. What's going to get them through these hard times? If it ever happened, God forbid, to us, what would get you through the hard times to keep building in the middle of torment and chaos? Grace. God's sovereign, divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you cannot do it. When you don't have the strength, when you're weary, when you're tired, you don't know how to fight anymore, you just can't fight anymore. God's grace is going to come alongside of you and it's going to take you along the way. It's going to pull you through and you're going to get to that build. It's going to be your anchor and you can carry yourself on the grace of God because Jesus Christ died on that cross because the salvation of God is yours and it's free and no one can take that from you. Not this life, and it goes with you into eternity. And that is why we live. We live because we live for eternity. We don't live for the things of this world now. But grace will get us through the stupid systems of this world now. I fought with Amazon all morning. I wasn't going to tell this story because I was so mad. I literally had to pray in tongues for like half an hour. I went to Africa today. I went to Jamaica today. I went to Canada today. I went to India today. I went to 7 different people that could not understand anything I said. And they closed my Amazon account, took everything from me, took like hundreds of dollars of movies away that my kids had bought for themselves. It just was a mess. And I said, hey guys, this is bad business. Like, can you refund me or at least give me a gift card for what I'm not ever going to get back again? No, I'm so sorry, ma'am. We can't. There's nothing we could do. And I just hate the injustice of like, I said to this lady, there's no customer service anymore. Like, what happened? So I got off the phone and said, well, we might as well just say goodbye to each other. And she's like, okay, goodbye. I was like, ugh. Because I used to work customer service, so this was like a no-no, you know, but I guess it's gone, guys. Sorry. So as I'm trying to minister, I'm like, now I got to minister. I don't like these people, and I'm talking about how we're supposed to love people today. And I'm like, you need to help me, God. And the Lord was just like, you're in the systems of the world. This is a worldly system. I opened their magazine up today. They had some boy dressed like a girl for Christmas. I about threw it out my window. I was so mad. And he's like, system of the world. System of the world. And he said, remember, you're in the middle of it, but my grace will give you what you need to live through it. Guys, it's going to get harder. It's not going to get easier. I don't want anyone to lie to you and you think, oh, it's all going to go back the way it was before it's 2020. It's only going to get worse, girls. But we're only going to get stronger, and we're only going to get tougher, and we're only going to show up to the build, and we're going to have courage, and we're going to have strength, and we're not going to let the enemy take us out. because I work on the grace of God. I'm sustained by the grace of God because I'm held up by the grace of God. You see, every day you've got to remind yourself. Now, it might take you a half an hour, and you might have to call a friend and be like, I'm so annoyed. Please pray over me right now, because I had to call Dan and be like, I just want to cry. And then I haven't seen my mom. She's back. And so I saw my mom, and I cried like a big fat baby because I'm like, oh, you're never leaving me again. Luke doesn't need you in Oregon. So welcome home, Mom. We missed you. And it was just such an emotional day. And we can only talk like this in women's ministry, right? Because the men would all be like, what? So I went through the motions this morning. And you know what I was telling myself the whole time? His grace is sufficient. I might cry right now, but I'm walking in grace. I might be really mad at the Amazon people, but I'm walking in grace. I have the bigger hand. I'm the more mature one. I can walk in love. So girls, let's build with the grace of God in our life. Let's build with the grace of God. So 1 Corinthians says this, and it says, verse 9 through 11, it says, for we are God's fellowship workers. We are his field. We are his building according to the grace of God, which was given to me as to the wise master builder. I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. Let each one take heed to how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid of Jesus Christ. It won't be easy, girls, but we can get through this. Now, I'm going to spend some time on this third point. That's why I'm kind of rushing through those two points. This last point, how to build in my life when I need to. I've got to show up, number one. I've got to build with the grace of God. But number three, you've got to build with the right material. If I built my house in my kitchen and I picked a straw floor, remember the beams were down there, what would happen? My dog would be dead. My kids would be, like, totally beat up. Like, we would be hurt, right? Like, you can't build a material that's not going to last. And that's what this verse is talking about. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 13. And I'm going to go a little slower on this one. It says, now if, I want us to stop. If is a conditional word. If is actually a big little word. Because if you do this, if you don't, there's a condition on both sides of if. Okay, so now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw, each one's works will become clear. For the day, remember the judgment day, will declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work and of what sort it is. So if being conditional, then what are we as Christians building with? I don't want to build with the wrong materials in my Christian walk here on earth. I don't want to get up into heaven on the judgment day thinking I did it all well, right? And then God's like, no, you worker of iniquity, I know you not. What? We've heard those scriptures. But I cast out demons in your name. But I prophesied. But I, and me and Nicole were talking about this. The Holy Spirit showed this to me a long time ago. In those scriptures, it was all I. We live in a world that is narcissist right now. It is like the I capital of the world. Guys, when you think about yourself more than you think about other people, you are now an idol to yourself and an idol before God. That is scary. We as Christians need to bow. We need to put our flesh under. That's why we constantly are telling you to fast, because it reminds you that this is flesh and that this comes under the submission to the Word of God. And that when I submit to God's word and when I step into all God needs me to be, I am no longer walking this out in my own ability, but I'm walking out with gold and silver and precious stones. You see, God is the God of the great I am. And, you know, we were talking about this yesterday, and I'm going to use it, Nicole. We were talking about how that scripture is like, I prophesied in your name, but I prayed in your name, I. But think about in the very beginning of the Bible, what did God call himself? I am. I feel like God's just like to us nowadays, hey, I am, not you. I am. I am all in all. I'm all that you need. I'm more than enough. I'm the creator of the universe. And I think that sometimes we, even Christians, guys, forget that he is sovereign. And that what he commands us and tells us to do as Christians is to build with the greatness of his power working in and through us, but not in our own ability. So every single one of these things that he lists, the silver and the gold and the precious stones, those are things that are given to us by the grace of God because he's a good father. Let's talk about this building of our foundation. What are you building your life on? I want you to ask yourself that question. What am I building my life on? Is it strong? Is it durable? Am I able to withstand hardships? Or is it maybe weak or flimsy and gone with the wind? Is it a substance that I can build on and that it won't be burned up when the fire hits it? This is so important because we will be judged by God and these things will be tested by his fire. So what does this look like and what materials do we need to have? So let's break down these scriptures. It says that if anyone builds on gold, what could gold represent in the verses? Go with me to 1 Peter 6 through 7. I'm not going to give you my word. We're going to get into the word on this. The word of God is life and power and teaches us so well. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show your faith is genuine. It being tested as fire tests and purifies gold through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise, glory, and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So how about we say this, gold equals faith. Gold equals faith. What does our faith look like? Where's our faith at? Faith means to be morally, we have a moral conviction of God's truthfulness as a religious teacher. We are persuaded about who God is and what he's going to do in our lives. We are relying upon Christ, our salvation. He is our belief and he is our security. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That's why we're sitting in church together. As we hear the word of God, our faith arises and we know who our God is. And when things come to berate us and buffet us, we go, no, I'm putting on my face shield. You don't get to bug me. You're not going to move me. It's not going to change me. Because I know who God is. I know who I am. I know what God's called me to do. And you become this pillar of strength in very hard times. Gold is a hard piece of material, right? It's something we use on our rings or it's put in palaces. It's something that lasts forever. You know, Jesus doesn't even think of it as grand. He puts it on his streets in heaven. And so these are the things that God is comparing because these are the things of this world. But in our spiritual sense, our faith is what we need to build our lives on here on earth. How strong is your faith? How strong is God to you? How much do you trust him? How much do you believe in him? Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he uses this parable, and it's kind of intense. I had to cut it down a little bit because there's so much, it was all good. But we're going to start in James 2, 14 through 20. It says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say that you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye, have a good day, stay warmed, and eat well. But then you don't give this person any food or clothing. What good does it do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is deed and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith and others have deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by good deeds. Did you hear that? I will show you my faith by my actions, what he's saying. I will produce. I will build because of my faith. I will get moving because of my faith. This is what this verse is saying. You say, in verse 19, you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Well, good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Jump with me down to verse 26, and it says, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. I believe that this is challenging us to be a people that builds on our faith. That means that we have to use our faith what we cannot see and believe that God is coming through. And then we have to put our hand to the plow and we have to begin to make things work in for the kingdom of God and for others and for people and for the lives in which he's called us to. See, faith with our works will bring the power of God into the building of our eternal foundation. our faith will pass the test of God in our lives. Faith will get us a passing grade with God. That fire will hit it and you'll be okay. Because God said, ooh, look at this woman of faith. I could rely on her. I could count on her. When things got hard, I watched you speak life. I watched you tell the devil to go to hell. I watched you love people when they hurt you. I watched you build on foundations. Every time they get broken down, you just kept rebuilding. It's like that. It's like when you're little kids. You know, I had little kids all around the same age. And I'll never forget, Micah would always build these beautiful Lego towers and stuff like that. And Titus was a baby. He would just think it was so fun to come and tear his tower down. I saw rage come out of that child. I prayed demons out of Micah after those moments. Let's not be like that when people come and tear down the things that we've built. Let's just move on and rebuild again. Rebuild again. Because our faith is strong and we can keep going. What about if we build on silver? What does silver, what could silver represent? Go with me to Proverbs 10:20. It says, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is worth little. So silver equals words. Wow, why are words so important? Why does this matter? Why does this affect our building a foundation on Christ? Everybody got quiet on this one because we were going, oh no. I like to cuss a little, Pastor Jess. Okay, so listen, we're going to go into Proverbs 18. Okay, go with me to Proverbs 18, and we're going to just see what the Bible says about the words of our mouth. It says in verse 4, wise words are like deep waters. Wisdom flows from the wise like a babbling brook. Verse 6 through 8, fools' words get them into constant quarrels. They are asking for a beating. The mouths of the fools are their ruin. And that they trap themselves with their lips. Rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. Verse 20 through 21. Wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right word brings satisfaction. And the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Ooh. So why is this so important? What are we saying? Because what we say, we can have. You're going to either speak life over the build or you're going to speak death into the build. And I want you to be women that turn it around. And you maybe even have to catch yourself for a long time, but eventually you're not going to say the things you used to say. And you need to ask God to begin to help you with your tongue. Because he's listening to everything we say. And when we go before him, we will give an account for what we speak. Yikes, right? So what are you saying about that husband? What are you saying about those kids? What are you saying about yourself? Ooh, I'm ugly. I don't like myself. I'm not good enough. Stop it. You are wonderfully and fearfully made, is what God said. You're going to have to give an account for that one day. See, those will be words that are burned up. You know, if I slip, I am a little bit of a cussing pastor. Sometimes I don't use big ones, but little ones, I'm like, you're dumb. And I have had to really watch myself because it's like, Dan, my husband, who's like holier than thou, he's like, seriously, you couldn't have thought of another word? And I'm like, nope, that one's perfect. And and he's like, it's going to get burned up. I'm like, good. But that's the wrong attitude. So don't be like me, okay? Because I got really convicted. Like, I need to really watch it. When I get annoyed, I just, and I just get so mad because we're living in a really tough world. And I cannot let my speech be like the world. I've got to change. So if Pastor Jess is going to change, you need to change too, all right? So what are we speaking in Matthew 12:33? It says this, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, the fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, the fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you will say. There's other versions that say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for your idle word that you speak. And the words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. What? if that's not the fear of God right there, I don't know what is. And, you know, I'm constantly telling my kids when they're going through something, I'm like, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you want to know where somebody's at, just listen to them. So many times, I'll just be listening to people, and I'm like, they're not good. They're not good. Because you have discernment as a Christian. You know, like, that's not healthy. That what is coming out of them is not God. And just listen. And then that'll teach you how to pray for those people. You don't correct them right there and say, you're wrong, you're dumb. Don't do that, because that's not going to get anywhere. But pray for them. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When somebody comes against you, when somebody tries to tear you down, when somebody's trying to ruin the house that you're building, what do? You begin to speak life. When the contractors in this build did not show up, when they would tell me one thing, oh, man, we went through this whole thing. Like, I bought this, like, fan that goes over my, you know, stove, and it had a remote control to it. And the only way to turn the fan on is with the remote control. And I literally was like, hey, guys, don't lose the remote control. I have to go to work. You know, because you got to babysit these guys, big grown men, you got to babysit. So they're like, okay. So I never saw the remote again. And I'm like, hey, guys, where's that remote? I don't know. I never saw it. So I was up in the middle of the night praying. And the Holy Spirit told me the remote is in the wall. They drywalled. And they put it on, you know, the beams. And I was like, seriously, what wall? They just drywalled the whole entire house. Like, what am I going to do? So I started thinking, you know what, I'm gonna order another remote control. See if I can do that, because I know it's gone. So they all, no, not me. No, that person. And I'm like, you guys, the Spirit of God told me it's in the wall. Who put it in the wall? No, not me. Well, you know what happened? 3 days later, they were supposed to bring my fridge in, and they were 4 inches short on the little cutout for the fridge. And I said, we measured this 4 times. So this is your fault. I'm not paying for you to tear this down and redo it. You're going to do it the right way the second time now. And I didn't do it. It was this person. It was that person. It was this person. Finally, I'm getting ready to preach that day. It was a Thursday morning. This is what happens before I come and preach. And so I got a whole bunch of grown men fighting. And I got tons of guys doing the floor, and this guy's like, I'm not doing it. You're going to have to pay for that. And I'm like, you're going to pay for that. You did this the wrong way, because I was here when you measured and did it. Anyways, I was a property manager. So I finally got so frustrated as a girl, and I started crying. It works. Just works. Use it, girls. Use it. So I just was like, so I sat on the counter just like, you guys are so frustrating. This has been so long. I'm so tired. I'm supposed to be preaching right now, and I'm fighting with you, Richard. And I was, like, so mad at him. And he was like, don't. And now, guys, he had a beard down here. His hair was, like, long. He was, like, this bro guy, you know. And he's like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Do what? Why are you crying? Because you're stupid. And he was like, and he said, we'll fix it. By the time you get home, we'll fix it. So guess what happened? I got home from work that day. The fridge was in. The new wall was up. It was flush with the wall. And my remote control was sitting on my counter. I said to the floor guys who were still there, how did this get here? And they go, because they heard the whole fight. And so, but they don't speak English, but I think they do. So I said, did Richard find this in the wall? And they were like, and I just want to say I'm vindicated, right? Like, I knew that the Holy Spirit told me it was in the wall. I don't know what that has to do with anything. What am I talking about? Choice words, right? I had some words for Richard in my head. But I didn't say them. I did say he was stupid, but that's okay. The Bible calls people stupid all the time. So, just read Proverbs. But I had to watch myself. I had to speak life into it. I had to walk away from the frustration. I had to just trust that God was going to handle it, and he took care of me. What words are you going to use when the pressure's on? God is listening. You will answer for them. So let's use words that build up, not tear down. Can we do that? Okay, last part of this one, and then we can close. If anyone builds on precious stones, what does this represent? 1 Peter 2:5, go with me there. You also, as living stones, that's us, are being built up for a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are the living stones being built up, and God calls you acceptable to Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? So precious stones equals the people of God. Precious stones equals people. Jesus came and died on a cross for all of humanity. Every single person that wanted him could have him. He came and sacrificed. He went after the one. He went after the 99 that was lost. He left the 99 and ran after the one. You see, Jesus loves humanity and he loves people. If he puts that much on them, then guess what? He puts that much on you. He values you that much. You are a precious stone to him. You are valuable to him. In Proverbs 31, it says that you are more valuable than the rubies. Do you know rubies are actually considered more valuable than even a diamond? Why? Because God calls it beautiful. He calls you beautiful. You are precious stones to him, and he builds with you. Your lives cause God to be able to build the kingdom of God. Our lives matter. What we do on this earth matters. What we do for the kingdom of God matters. How we respond to people matters. And how we love others matters. Loving people is what God is asking us to do. This is a hard one nowadays. Our society is so dark. It's getting meaner and meaner, as you heard my experience with the Amazon lady today. It is easy to get jaded. It is easy to get bitter. It is easy, right, to want to fight. It's easy to just exclude yourself and become a hermit. It's easy to hang out with just the people you know you're safe with, right, and not get outside your group. But I don't believe God called us to do that, because if we go back to the verses before these, what was it? It was a witnessing. It was you water, you plant. That means we have to get out and put our hand to the plow. So we aren't called to just be to our own, but we're called to love who we are, which God loves us, and then love others around us. Because we are precious stones. Our lives is what God builds his kingdom off of. Ephesians 4, 11 through 14. Now these gifts God gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Right there, I know most people read that and go, well, good, it's not for me. But no, let's go on. There's responsibility to equip God's people. That's my responsibility to equip you. Are you God's people? Yes, so now this is your responsibility. To do the work and to build up the church. Your job is to do the work and build up the church. My job is to do the work and build up the church too. Why? Because I am a daughter of the Most High God. And so our job as Christians is a full-time minister to love people, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such a unity of our faith and the knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. Remember we talked about the carnal baby Christian? God's calling us into maturity. He's leading us out of the carnal baby Christians. He wants us to get off the milk. He wants us to get into the meat and step into maturity. And that's what God's calling us, because we will be giving an account for it. It says measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. We cannot live our lives according to the standards of this world. We have to live our lives according to the word of God. And it's Jesus Christ. What he breathes, what he eats, what he says, that's how we live, that's how we move, that's how we operate here on this earth. And then it says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We will not be tossed and blown about of every wind of new teaching. Because guys, it's coming around. I mean, that grace message came through. Our AM group took out 12 tables. Not one of those women are really serving God right now. Not one. I see them online. They're drinking. They're partying. They've gotten divorced. Why? Because it was a wind of doctrine that took them out from under the word. And then it says, and you will not be tossed or blown away by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. When I was reading Matthew 24, that's what it was warning us of. Do not just listen to anyone. They're going to come and say that they're Christ. They're going to call themselves Messiah. They're going to even be able to do signs and wonders. But do not go out in the field with them. Because look around, there'll be carcasses everywhere they go. Because it's the enemy, it's the Antichrist. Be aware and awake, all right? And God loves us so much that we will be judged by how we choose to build up others. So when God gives you an opportunity to love somebody and it's hard, and you say, too hard, I'm good, send someone else, God's going to judge you for that because that was your assignment. And it's hard to love when you're not loved back. It's hard. My mom and I were just recently talking about this, that when you find yourself in really uncomfortable relationships and things that are hard, that's when it's harder to love like Christ. That's when you want to be like, I'm out. I mean, and the world does. I'm triggered by you. You're toxic. You know, and all of a sudden we have these lingo words that give us a permission to not love people. But how about we grow up, ladies, and we become more mature and we're the tougher ones, and that when they're stupid or they're abusive and they're weird personality or they're unhealthy ways, we let it bounce off of us, but we still are strong and we walk it out and we are the love of God in their lives. I'm not saying you take on abuse, but what I am saying is that when you are abused, you're not taken out by it. You're not stripped down by it. You're not put out of commission in the kingdom of God, but you are actually empowered by it and go, well, then I'm going to pray harder. Well, I'm not going to let it get to me because I know who I am. And you can say all that you want to say, but I know that I did this with the right heart. And I know I did this before God because he gave me this job to do, because he put me on mission with you. You're not easy to love. Don't tell them that, but you know. Because you're mature. You're not walking around with those pacifiers in your mouth. No, now you get to eat that amazing meal of meat and potatoes and rice. Sorry, Giselle. I don't know if any of that's healthy or not. And so, I don't know what Christmas healthy, like, safety features means. I'm like, stay away from sugar, bad. Okay. So anyways, we do not want our lives to be built on wood, hay, and stubble. Right? We want our lives to be built on the precious stone. It makes me think about the verses where it talks about Jesus is the cornerstone. And the foundation that is laid is all with the anchor of the cornerstone. He is our firm foundation. He is our cornerstone, ladies. Let's use our stones. Let our lives be stones that build on that foundation and create a beautiful temple of God. Later in the scriptures, it talks about you are the temple of God. You are the living temple of God. That's a big responsibility for us to walk around with. That's a really big responsibility. And you are a representation of Christ. And I want to say this, that what we do better reflect what God does and not what the world does in the world systems. Because we will be judged for that. You know, the Word of God says things like, you've got to be careful to condone sin. When you allow sin to remain in your presence and around you, and you condone it and you allow it, you are now a partaker of that. You will be accountable for that. You see, anytime when I got radically saved, I had a whole bunch of friends, and they would be doing dumb stuff, and I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be a part of that. Why? You're just a goody-goody. Yeah, I might be, but I'm not doing that because I had the fear of God on me. I really was like, I've already been burned up by hell. I don't want to go back, and I don't want to even feel the flames of hell again. And what you're doing led me to hell, so I'm not even pressing in or going there. And I just remember just this fear of, like, I'm not going to allow those things into my world. You know, I lost a lot of friends, but that's okay because I now have friends. And do you know I had people come back to me later? And I had one friend, and he went, woo, he was a partier. And I just remember the Lord speaking to me, saying, just keep praying for him, just keep praying for him. When I got married to Dan, I was like, hey, I need you to know I have this best friend, been my best friend forever, but he's a partier, he's totally jacked up. Like, I won't even go to hang out with him in person anymore because he's just ungodly, but I still talk to him over the phone sometimes, and I try and throw in, hey, you want to go to church with me? Hey, you know, like, I'm going to pray for you, I'm praying for you, and I would always say that. So I got married, and he called, and so first thing I did when I was married, oh, I'm married now. You get to talk to my husband. So they became friends over the phone because we were at Rhema Bible Training Center. And they became friends, and Dan became his mentor. And he came back to the Lord, and the Lord really ministered to him, and the Lord saved him. And it was my love and my prayers. And he said, the first thing he said was he was actually on a very dangerous road, and he called me, and he was like, it's you. It's your fault. And I was like, my fault? What are you talking about? What did I do? And he's like, your prayers, God's real. I mean, this is what he said to me on the other end. I'm like, yes, I know. And he's like, I know it's your prayers. I can't say no to him. How do I get saved? And I got to lead him to the Lord right there on the phone. And you guys, don't ever forget you're a living stone. You may feel like you've planted that seed and you're never going to see the fruit of it. Don't give up. Be the living stones. Keep building. Somebody will come along and water it. God will meet their need. God will show up to them. I believe God's showing up to the Jewish people right now and that he's revealing himself. I saw an interview with an ISIS man and with the son of the leader of Hamas. They're all saved, radically saved. Why? Because Jesus showed up to them. See, there's nothing too big for God, but we are the ones that have to pray it in. We've got to believe for the impossible. We can't sit idle and just use our faith but do nothing about it. Girls, you are builders. And I want you to use the right material in the rest of your life. Let's build for the kingdom. When times get hard, we're not going to give up. We're not going to give in. We're not going to be burned up. We're not going to be built of wood, hay, and stubble, which will be burned up. But no, we're going to have gold, silver, and precious stones because we are mighty women of God, because we are God's kingdom. And so today, if you got something from the Lord, let's give him a praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, some of you are in this room today, and I want to give you the opportunity to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never done that before. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Well, today I want to give you that opportunity. Too many times churches do not give people the opportunity to make this commitment to Christ. And I don't want to be that ever, to stand before God. I will give an account. As a minister, why didn't you tell them how to be close to me? Why didn't you tell them how to make me the Lord and Savior of their life? You see, we can go to church all we want. We can read our Bible all we want. You might be, you know, part of a choir. You might, you know, go and give to the poor. But if you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you say to him, become the Lord of my life, and I surrender my life back to you, and I die to my old man, and I die to my sin, and I no longer am going to be a part of that, but I'm headed for heaven. I'm going to be a builder of the kingdom like we talked about today. If you've not had that moment with God, that you've recognized him as Lord of your life, today I want to give you the opportunity to make him the Lord of your life. He died on that cross for your sins. No one else could wash away your sins, but Jesus went as a spotless lamb to wash away your sins, to clean, bring a cleansing, and by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony, you are saved. It's a free gift to all of us, but we have to receive this gift of salvation. And it's through the grace of God that we receive it. And today, God's grace is for you. His love is for you. Salvation is for you. So if you've wondered, I think I'm saved, I'm not sure, let's make sure today. You don't want to leave this place and get in a car accident or have a heart attack. And if you were to close your eyes, where would you wake up? Would you wake up in heaven or would you wake up in hell? It's a hard question, right? But I want to make sure that you know that you will wake up in heaven and that you will be with your Maker, the one who created you for all of eternity, or you can spend all of eternity in hell with weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is not a place that was built for you or I. That was for Satan and his demons. But that's where we will go when we say no to God and yes to all that the world offers. So today, if you need to get right with God, you've been running from God instead of to God, I want you to raise your hand today. Get right with God. Do not miss this opportunity. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, and you're going, I need to just mark this day. I want to pray and I want to just make God the Lord of my life. I'm talking to you today. Maybe you've been dabbling. You've been trying to figure out. You've been into witchcraft. It's really popular right now. You've been into all different religions, trying to figure out what's truth. Well, today you heard the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. That means that you cannot get to heaven on your good works. You cannot get to heaven by any other way except through making Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior. So today, get ready on the count of three. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and I'm going to bang my hand on the pulpit. When I do that, if you need to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to raise your hand. You say, why do I got to raise my hand? Because the Bible says, Jesus is actually talking, and he says, if you confess me before men, that's all of us, then I, Jesus, will confess you before my Father when you get to heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. This is your first step of saying, I want you, God. I love you, Jesus. come and be the Lord of my life. Let's do it with boldness. You don't need to be afraid or shy. You are in a safe environment where everybody's rooting you on and praying for you right now. We have been where you've been. And so I want you to know you're in a safe space. So get ready. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, if you've been running from God instead of to God, or if you've been knocking on doors trying to figure out what's truth, today you've heard truth. Today, run after God. He is your Savior. So on the count of three, one, two, three. Raise your hands right now if you need Jesus. I just don't want to miss anyone. This is a believers meeting. Okay, well, we heard about being witnesses, girls. I want you to think of one person you're going to bring in 2 weeks to AM. Pastor Deborah's going to preach on the day of judgment. And we will have an altar call then too. Okay. And I want you to bring someone because they need to know the goodness and the love of God as we've all experienced. I want you right now to turn around and go into your groups. You're going to pray together and you're going to talk together. I love you girls so much. Bring someone to church this weekend. Let's be full-time ministers for the gospel of Jesus. Love you guys.